We're coming to a real close here. This would be, if you need a title for this, it would be New Jerusalem Part 2. New Jerusalem Part 2. All right. Did I let the little ones go back? I thought I did. All right. Big one's gotta stay. Older one's gotta stay. All right. Verse 19. We gotta start with prayer. Father, help me once again. I just love sharing your word, and certainly a wonderful opportunity today to do the same. Thank you for your precious word, and help me to share it that would be clear and simple, that everyone here today can grasp the meaning of what you'd want us to see. In Jesus' name, amen. New Jerusalem is a perfect cube, 1,500 miles in every direction. It is a perfect cube. I'll be going to another portion of Scripture. Just, maybe it'd be a good time to go there now. Dale, Exodus chapter 39. Exodus chapter 39. If you'll get that, and if some of you want to go there yourself, that's okay. Exodus 39. This chapter has to do with the priest's garments. The reason I'm going there is because it is the same stones that's mentioned in Revelation, that we're about to mention in Revelation in the verse 19. It's the same stones. The priest had a breastplate that he wore. The breastplate was completely square. It was four square, as we'll read. It was four square, had four rows. There was four rows on this breastplate, and there was three stones in each row. Four rows, three stones on each row. And each of the listing of the breastplate of the high priest is listed in Revelation, the same stones. You see, the stones represent the 12 tribes. It's the 12 tribes, and it represents them. That's what the priest represented when he went into the most holy place. He wore this breastplate. So now we're in chapter 39 of Exodus. We're going to begin with verse 8. Verse 8 of chapter 39, I think I have it down as verse 9, maybe. Oh, verse 10. Well, I'm going to back up. Verse 8. He made the breastplate of cunning work like the work of the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine twine linen. Verse 9, it was four square. I wanted to make sure you heard that. Because the cube of New Jerusalem is also a perfect cube. It's square. It was four square. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, a span the breadth thereof, being doubled. There you go. That means it's perfect square. And they sat it in four rows of stones. The first row was a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This was the first row. And the second row was emerald, sapphire, and diamond. Third row, ligure, ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. The fourth row, beryl, onyx, and jasper. They were enclosed in ounces of gold in their enclosings, and the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name according to the 12 tribes. Okay, there we are. Okay. Back to Revelation. Okay. I'm going to give you the names of the stones, and I'm going to try to give you the color of what they look like so you can get an idea of what they must look like. Jasper is a crystal clear gem that could be a massive diamond. Jasper. We hear the word jasper in Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. And he who sat there on the throne was like a jasper and a sardius stone. Sapphire. Y'all know what color sapphire is. Anybody have sapphire for your birth month? I know one that does, my dear wife has sapphire. Husbands better remember that. Hello, it's good advice. It's good advice. Husbands, remember. Okay, sapphire is blue, a clear blue gem similar to a diamond in hardness. And then it's chalcedony. Boy, I don't know how to say that. A greenish aggregate with possibly a few stripes of other colors mixed in. And then there's the emerald, a bright green stone. Isn't that pretty? I knew that. That was bright green. All right. I guess we could go on to verse 20. We have a sardix. This is the next eight foundations. A sardix, a reddish white onyx similar to the color of healthy fingernails. Look at your fingernails. That's pretty much what sardix is. It's a reddish white onyx similar to the color of healthy fingernails. Sardius, a fiery red blood-colored stone from Sardis. Chrysolite, a transparent golden yellow stone. Beryl, a sea green emerald, lighter in color than the third foundation. And then topaz, a transparent greenish yellow stone. Chrysophis, a yellowish pale green stone similar to the modern aquamarine color. Jacinth, violet hyacinth color gem. Amethyst, anybody know what color that is? Purple, a purple colored stone. And then I like this commentary, it says, a rainbow would be just a very pale glimmer compared to these foundation stones. Can you imagine God's light passing through all these different colored stones? Must be breathtaking. Someday we will see it. We will see it, but we can only try to imagine what that must look like. God's precious and bright light shining through this beautiful translucent foundation, the stones. Oh, speaking of stones, I have another place I want to go before I forget it. Ezekiel 28. Can we put that up there, Dale? Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, you should keep those together. I'm not turning to 14 today, Isaiah, but I want you to keep that in mind. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 go together. It talks about the creation of Lucifer, when God created Lucifer. We're in chapter 28 of Ezekiel. There is a fellow by the name of King of Tyrus, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou seest the sum full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. What this is a characteristic of the king of Tyrus. This would be very similar to the Antichrist. The description we're going to have of King Tyrus is like the Antichrist. It's very similar. King Tyrus has his own character, of course. There actually was a King Tyrus. But Satan used him, as Satan will use the Antichrist. But King Tyrus was used of Satan, as the Antichrist will also be used. And this is why we had this reading here, because I had to tell you that, because here's the next verse. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now we know that King Tyrus wasn't in the garden of Eden. But it said King Tyrus, the prior verse, that's because Satan influenced King Tyrus to do what he did. Now it's talking about Lucifer. Now, when we talk about Lucifer, we need to use the term Lucifer, because it wouldn't be right to call him Satan, because God did not create Satan. God created an anointed cherub called Lucifer. When he was created, he was the most beautiful cherub that God had ever created. Most beautiful cherub. It says he was perfect in beauty. He was the most beautiful. That of God's creations of angels, Lucifer was the greatest. And unfortunately, Lucifer knew it. He knew it. And then he wanted to be like God. And that's where things really went sour. Okay? But when God created Lucifer, he was beautiful. Beautiful. And now I'm going to read this for you. Now you can read it. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy timbrets. There, Elroy, that was in your Sunday school lesson. Timbrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast what? Created. In the day that thou wast created. That's Lucifer. God's talking about Lucifer. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Remember the cherubims? You know that they were located around God's throne? Certainly not to give guardianship to God. God don't need to be guarded by anybody. We're not sure just exactly what their role is. We know that they're the highest order of angels there is the cherubim. They're the highest order. They're the highest. Cherubim is the absolute highest order of angels created. And Lucifer was made one of those. It says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God and hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. We don't know what that is. That's a curious thing. Stones of fire. Where? In the mountain of God. Thou wast, and this is talking about Lucifer, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. The iniquity, of course, is his desire to be like God, and that's Isaiah chapter 14. There's six I wills in Isaiah 14. Satan, I will, I will, I will, I will ascend on high. That was his desire to be like God, Isaiah 14. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Okay, we're done with that. You should mark that because that has to do with the creation of Lucifer. There's where Lucifer was created, as Lucifer. Okay. Back to Revelation chapter, verse 21. The 12 gates. Okay, we have this huge, perfect cube. It's 1,500 miles on every side, 1,500 miles high. Okay, and it's a perfect, perfect cube. Now, there's three gates on each side, or there's 12 gates total. There's three gates on each side. If you put those three gates, if you're going to balance them out on each side, it would be 375 miles. 375 miles, gate. 375 miles, gate. 375 miles, gate. 375 miles makes 1,500. Miles. 375 miles between the gates. There's three gates in each side of this cube. You get it? And each gate is made of what? Anybody remember? A huge pearl. How many of you women like pearls? It's made of a huge pearl. And what is stationed at each gate? Does anybody remember? St. Peter. An angel. We don't know who the angel is. Just says there's an angel stationed at each gate. What's that for? Nothing corrupt, nothing evil is going to enter therein. Nothing evil. You with me? Okay. Keep on going. 12 gates, 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. You mean, Pastor, this cube being this big, there's only one street? I don't know. It's got to be more than one street, don't you think, Elroy? But this street that he's talking about is a special street. Why is that? Because it's what? It's pure gold. It's pure gold. I think there's other streets. I just think this one's a special one. That's why it said, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Okay? Wow. When we look at this and think about this, we just can't help but think of the great wealth and generosity of our Lord and Savior. Wow. Babylon was the home of the famous Ishtar Gate. It was named after Ishtar, the queen of heaven. The gate opened to a street called the Procession Street, which some people called Festival Avenue. But Babylon's gate and that would certainly pale in comparison to the 12 gates of pearls and the street of pure gold. You see, God knows how to make Satan look like a poplar. Yes, he does. And verse 22, moving right on, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. You see, God withdrew his presence from mankind in the beginning. It was God's desire to have fellowship with man. Remember, in the garden, God walked with Adam and Eve. He had fellowship. It was his desire to have fellowship with man. And one day again, that fellowship will be restored. And we'll be able to fellowship, and we'll be able to live with the Lord. We'll live with him. We'll see him. We'll be able to talk with him. It was his desire to have that relationship. But Adam and Eve, of course, sinned and broke that, severed that relationship. Remember, God came down and looked in the cool of the day. Could have been the morning or evening. Cool is twice a day, so we're not sure if it was evening or morning. But he came in the cool of the day, and he said, Adam, where are you? We're hiding. Why are you hiding? We are naked. Who told you you was naked, Adam? Who told you? Did you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Who told you you was naked, Adam? You see, it was God's desire to restore fellowship. So Moses built a tabernacle. Later, Solomon would build a temple. And then in the tabernacle and in the temple, there was a holy of holies. It was there that the priest would only go once a year. But there'll be no need for a medium. There'll be no need for a priest or a medium to do that because we'll be able to be with our Lord. After the millennium, things are going to be a little different. A temple will not be needed because sin will not be able to be present in the holy city. And God will have no need to separate himself from his people. There'll be no need for mediators. And then Revelation verse 23, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is the light. You think the sun's bright? There's nothing brighter than the Lord. The Lord created the sun. Imagine how bright he is when he created the sun. If you ever did any studies on the sun, it's amazing. The sun is an amazing, amazing planet. Just amazing. Constantly on fire. Constantly explosions taking place on the surface of the sun, making it so extremely, extremely warm. It's amazing. And God made it. He made the sun. Do you know the moon doesn't have any power to shine anything? You know what I figured out? The moon is like fluorescent. It's like people wear, you can wear something fluorescent, and when the light hits it, it just simply does what? It reflects. The moon reflects the sun. It reflects light. The moon doesn't produce light. It reflects light. So it's just a real big reflector. It just reflects light. But it's amazing how much it can reflect on a full moon. That amazes me. It's amazing how it reflects the sun's light. And God figured that out. He had it all figured out. He said there's no need for any sun or moon anymore. because they will be the light. They spoke and the light came into existence. They created the sun and the moon and the stars. There'll be no need for that when he creates a new heaven and a new earth. Their presence in the holy city will be eliminated. There'll be no need for these lights that were created. Verse 24, the nations of those who are saved shall, and notice, those who are what? Saved shall walk in its light. The last verse, you'll see why they're saved, because nothing corruption will enter. The kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. There is an interpretation that the kings here simply means Gentiles. We know at that time there will be one king, and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, you with me? And so the interpretation of kings here has also meant that those who were kings, who were at one time kings, or Gentiles is what the interpretation of that. And they will bring their glory and honor into it. All right. Verse 25, we're getting closer. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. We'll have new bodies. The new bodies will have no need for rest. We won't have to rest, won't have to sleep, won't have to, because our bodies won't require it. We'll have new bodies that will not require rest or sleep. And so there's no night there. Of course there's no night there, because the Lord's a light. He's the light. There'll be no night. Wow. Can you imagine that? How different that's going to be. In ancient times, cities opened their gates during the day and they closed them at night. Darkness will not be known. Can you imagine that? A city where there will be no darkness. No need to shut the gates. Verse 26. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Visitors will go to the holy city to give glory and honor to the Lord. And look at verse 27, last verse of chapter 21. But there shall no means enter it anything that defiles or causes abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. You see why the angels will be put at the gates? That's the only reason I know. When God created Adam and Eve, he put them in his perfect creation in the Garden of Eden. Then he allowed Satan to enter and tempt them, and they fell. Now, God could have made men worship him. He could have. We know that he created the angels, and he did the same with the angels as he did with us. He gave the angels and us the same thing. Does anybody know what I'm going to say? A free will. He gave the angels a free will, and he gave us a free will. Why do you suppose that is? Why? Why? Do you think God wanted puppets to serve him? Because they could say, well, we're serving you, God, because you made us to serve you. You made us to serve you. But he gave everybody free wills. Even the angels, he gave free wills. They didn't have to stay in heaven. And we know that Satan ran a revolt and encouraged a third of the heavenly host to go with him. He encouraged them to go. Those that are remaining there decided to stay there. That's where they wanted to be. Some have said, God froze their will. I don't believe that. If he gave you a will to begin with, he don't mess with it. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe those angels that are there today decided because they made their choice. They made their choice. And I hope today you've made your choice to follow Jesus. I hope you made your choice to follow him. You see, nobody on the day of judgment will point a finger at God and say, you're not just. You're not just. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is just. And whenever somebody gets what they're getting, they're going to get exactly what they deserve. And some will not get anything they deserve because God paid the price. If you decided to go with Jesus, remember, he paid your price. He paid your price. Aren't you glad he paid your price? I'm so glad he paid my price. Oh, hallelujah. He paid my price. So he allowed Satan to go into the garden and give man an opportunity to make a choice, and they did. Unfortunately, he made the wrong choice. But what I said before, don't matter what kind of choice you make, God can make good come out of that wrong choice because he's God. He makes good come out of those wrong choices. And throughout life, even after you're saved, you'll make some more wrong choices. You'll make some more. But you see, when he forgave you of your past, he forgave you of your present, and he forgave you of your future wrong choices. You with me? You on the same page with me? Isn't it wonderful? He forgave it all. He forgave it all for me. I didn't deserve any of it, but he forgave me all of it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that. He'll never allow any impure thing to enter the holy city. Those with their names found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be permitted to enter. All right. Next Sunday, Brother Pete's going to be sharing, and then Brother Paul Barnes. So it's going to be 2 weeks till we pick up chapter 22. Chapter 22, we're in the last chapter of Revelation. There are 21 verses. All right, would you stand? It's been a joy to be sharing this Bible study with you. It's really been a joy. I have told my neighbor Jed that I've learned more from this than anything throughout my life in the study of Revelation. I really have gotten a good grasp of it. I'm just thankful, appreciative that we were able to do this. And for a long time, I've thought about sharing it with you. We had shared it on several occasions in Bible study, but never really shared it in a Sunday school worship setting. So I'm glad that we had the opportunity to do that. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this wonderful and beautiful day. Thank you for these that will be perhaps viewing this in some way on the way of internet. I pray for them and their families. I pray, Lord, that if they've never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they'll take the time to ask you to forgive them of their sins and invite you to come and live in their hearts to this day and to live for you from this day forward. I pray for each and every one that's here today in this family, in this church family. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity I have to be able to shepherd and pastor them. I thank you so much for your wonderful goodness, Lord, and for your Holy Spirit that is able to help and help us, Lord, each and every day of our life. Thank you for this precious word again today. And I pray, Lord, that as we start this new week, Father, you'll give us a wonderful and a blessed week. Be with each and every one of us till we come back again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.